Welcome to Nick's podcast, The Insanity of God. We pray that God will bless you in what you're about to hear.
On Easter Sunday morning about 8 o'clock, I went to the office and turned on the shortwave radio and called Omar. He's our chief of staff in Mogadishu. We're winding things down, but he and I talk at, or we talk about 8 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the evening as everybody's getting chased out of Somalia. And Omar is effervescent out there, and he's been our chief of staff, and he saved my life more than 3 times. And he comes on the radio, and I say, Omar, I've got bad news that Tim has died. Now, Omar has been, we brought him out to Nairobi a number of times to go to UN meetings and for training sessions, and he knows Ruth, and he loves our boys. And so it was very uncharacteristic of him when I said to him, Tim's died, and we're going to have to bury him, and I'll get back with you. And he didn't say anything. The shortwave radio, I'm holding the microphone and cord dangling, and there's just no noise there, and he's gone. And I said, Omar, if you're still listening, please tell our Somali family that Tim has died, and our Muslim family that Tim has died. And so we've got all these people bringing us food, and we've got our church worshiping in our house. We've got 18 pairs of shoes or more outside the door of Shane's bedroom. And on Thursday afternoon, I was not surprised to hear yet another knock at the front door of our house. And I think, well, more friends, more workers. I mean, you talk about a picture of heaven. You've got our Kenyan church there. We've got charismatics there. We've got the Baptists there. We've got the Lutherans there. We've got the Presbyterians. It's nothing like the redneck place that I grew up with. It was just like a microcosm of what heaven's going to be like, and going to bed hearing the worship, but also knowing that Tim that is laying unburied. And so this knock comes at the door, and I open, and there stands Omar. That I talk with him by shortwave radio on Sunday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. This is about 4 or 5 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, early evening. And I look at him, and he's dirty and he's ragged and he smells like a goat. I mean, even from a few feet. And I looked at Omar and I said, "What are you doing here?" And he stands as tall as he can, with all the dignity of Africa and his Somali people, and this Muslim friend, my Muslim chief of staff, who had put his life on the line for his people and for me and my team and my family, he looked me in the eye and he said, "I have come to bury our son, Tim." And then he wrapped his arms around me. And he stayed the rest of that week with us, and our friends took him and gave him a place to stay and fed him. And at Tim's funeral, Omar had never been to a Christian funeral. He sat between myself and Ruth. And there's 200-300 plus college students, teachers, friends, church people. All of Tim's doctors and nurses came. And I was shocked that when the school choir sang just an unbelievable anthem that our oldest son, Shane, as his offering to his brother, sang in that choir. And I asked him, I said, before I'd ask him, I said, "How can you do this?" He said, "I have to." And our 11-year-old was hurting so bad. But a lot of what I remember from that is over 26 people gave their hearts to Christ through what was said and done at Tim's funeral. And Omar is sitting between my wife and I, And he just keep turning, and as testimonies were giving, or students were standing up and sharing, or our oldest son Shane is singing in the choir, Omar is just, he's just trying to take it all in, and he's looking up in the amphitheater, he's looking back down at the stage, and he's just looking around, and he goes with us, and about halfway through the funeral service, this Muslim man who would never touch a woman that's not in his family, he reaches over and he takes Ruth's hand, and he takes my hand, and he brings them together, and he puts his big old calloused Muslim hand over the top of that and just rubs it. And then we walk about 50 yards down the hill below the school, and we bury Tim in the woods in a most beautiful and holy place. And some of our African friends had worked so hard to make that spot available that the government approved. And you had to laugh and smile with Kenya, that the company that so graciously agreed to do the headstone brought it like the day before Tim was buried, and I looked at the stone, and my heart just sort of rejoiced because it was sort of the Africa that we had experienced for 20-some years. They had Tim, instead of being born in the 1900s, they had him born in the 1800s, and so they had him dying when he was 116 years of age. And I said, you know, guys, I could let a little bit of stuff go, but I think we better get Tim in the 1900s. And so they had to take the gravestone away. And we had such a worship time. What was heartbreaking, heartwarming, is that once we Europeans finished worshiping, it was like that allowed our African family to start worshiping. And they worshiped around Tim's grave for an hour or longer after everybody else had left.
Thanks for listening. If you want to know more about our ministry, just go to nickripkin.com.